Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Good evening. Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We got a special one-on-one in-depth interview going on tonight. You know, I felt it was only prevalent that I brought this one warrior on the show, as he truly has been a testimonial to the sport. And now he's added a new aspect to him. So I wanted to share that with the world, and I didn't want to put in any you know, specific amount of time on it. With that being said, welcome to Spider, Kendall Grove, to the program. Kendall, how's it going, brother?
Very good, very good. Can't complain. Live in Hawaii. Perfect weather year-round, so I can't really complain.
Oh, man. You know, a good friend of mine, Bob Ostovich, lives out there. I wish I was out there with you guys, man. You get 80-degree weather year-round, so, yeah, you can't complain about that.
Yeah, I really can't. You know, people think I'm an asshole if I start complaining about the weather out here.
Right. You know, Kendall, you're a tremendous veteran of the sport, so I don't know if you've ever heard of my show or listened to my show before, but we kind of touch on all aspects of life. You know, you mentioned that your kids were in the car. Bro, that's perfectly fine on my show. You know, my show is for the fighters. If your family's with you, then your family's with you, man. That's just how it rolls. You know, but you added a new aspect to who you are as a warrior in the sport, and that being bare-knuckle boxing. What was it that drove Kendall Grove to that aspect on that path?
I was kind of over it after I got let go from Bellator. I was over MMA. I still kind of is over MMA. Kind of left a sour taste in my mouth, you know, personal reasons. But and then I seen the first bare knuckle fighting championships. I actually see my friend Joey Beltran fight on it, and I was like, oh, shit, like, this is actually kind of cool, you know, five two-minute rounds, boxing, bare knuckle, it seems kind of interesting. It got me when I was anti-fighting at a time, you know, as I was spat out from the business aspect of it, and I was just kind of like over fighting, you know. And then I was like, wow, this is actually kind of cool, it's different. And then social media so DMs was back and forth, oh, you interested, I'm interested, you call these hair, like, come on. I was just messaging guys that knew people, and then always ended up at a dead end. And then I was in Vegas for International Fight Week, and I seen Crazy Bob Cook at Will Call, and he was like, hey, you interested in doing that bare knuckle? I was like, actually, I am. I thought I was getting a hold of the guy, but it kind of led me to nowhere. He's like, well, I'm on the phone with the guy right now. I was like, oh, tell him. He knows Dave Thomas, my manager, and he was like, yeah. I was like, oh, get a hold of him, and then one thing led to another, and then boom. A month later, I fought on the second event, and then a month and a half later from that, I'll be fighting on the third event. So I'm stoked. I'm happy, and I'm just excited to be a part of it. So early, you know, it's a new sport, and I feel there's a future in it, not just because I'm in it, but it's fun. It's another avenue for fighters, you know, to fight and make a living. So I'm for it.
Yeah, you know, I'm all for it too. You know, what's funny is I know the owners of the promotion myself, and they reached out to me, and you were one of the fighters that I asked to have on my show, and instead I got your opponent, Abramski, and you know, he's a Missouri boy, so it was a pretty unique interview. What did it feel like for you, Kendall, to go out there in a new aspect and get that win. What did it mean to you knowing that you're back in love with the sport and you go out there, you get the W? Now, you, like you said, you're already set for the next card. What does it mean to you kind of having this, this second type of rebirth for Kendall Grove?
Good. I feel alive again. You know, I never felt like I wasn't alive. Like, I just, it was just a weird situation for myself, I think. I was trying so hard to be somebody I wasn't. I don't know. Just pressure on being something, you know, for an organization. I could admit I wasn't dealing with that pressure very well, and kind of over it. You know, I got six kids. You know, I got a, I'm a hands-on dad. I work full-time as a tiler, you know, on top of fighting. I have been doing that since I got let go from the UFC, and obviously my kids have grown since that time. But yeah, sorry, lost my train of thought right there.
You're fine, brother, you're fine. You know, I think it's tremendous because Jacob Stitch Duran and I are pretty much blood in life and in sport. And we did a live interview together, and we talked about, because he's the cut man for the fighting championships, so we talked about where we both thought the sport was going to go, and we both felt in our hearts that this is going to be the newest aspect of the sport. You look at the sport of MMA, it's over inundated. There's promotions popping up every other day. And here you got an aspect that's 100 or so years old. And so that's kind of what I want to ask you, Kendall. How does it feel to go from the new aspect of the sport back to actually the traditional, the beginning of the sport? What did it mean to you for the first time stepping into that ring?
I mean, I was nervous. It meant a lot to me, obviously. Reviving the sport, like you said, it's been around for hundreds of years. It kind of dwelled off, and then boxing came alive, and then boxing reigned in combat sports for a while until, you know, with Muhammad Ali, that era, and then coming up De La Hoya and going on, boxing is still strong, not as strong as it used to be because, like, obviously MMA popped up, and then it gave that combat audience a new appetite for something, wanted it more, you know, oh, shit, more than punching, now you can kick, take down, everything, oh, wow, yeah. And then, like you said, you got all, it's kind of spilled out. I mean, it's always going to be exciting. You put the right guys in there, Conor McGregor, Khabib. Obviously, you make those blockbuster fights, people are going to watch. But then, like, I couldn't tell you who's on the card this weekend, you know what I mean, for Bellator or UFC. I might know one guy, but there's so much of them, you know what I mean? And then, and I'm not, I still love MMA as a fan of watching it, and like, I'm sure I'll do it again, hopefully. But as of now, and then now the bare knuckle came along, so it kind of gave that rawness, and it's like a full circle. Yes, son, yes, yes. We're going home right now, but Dad's doing the interview. And then the sports come full circle 100 years ago, and now it's back, you know, and it's giving the fans, wow, you know, like, fuck. Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine,
I was like,
bro.
Wow.
You can say what you want.
Okay, like, fuck. Like, Joey's last fight, Joey Beltran's last fight.
Yeah.
He got punched in the eye one time and got, like 16 stitches, I think, in, like, three different cuts. You know what I mean? And that's just one hand in your eye socket, you know, and just one punch. And that's why I like the sport, because you can't just, it's not a street fight like how everybody assumes it is, because, oh, bare knuckle. Like, you got to be smart. Yeah, you can come into the fight with that street fighting mentality, but you're going to break your hand. No question about it. You're going to swing wild. You're not going to be smart. You're not going to box. You're not going to pick your punches wisely, and you're going to hurt your hand early. And then what? Now you're driving with a flat tire, and now you have a weakness. Now you only have one weapon to protect yourself instead of two. So it's definitely a strategy. You got to be strategic, you know, on what punches you throw. You know, I was fortunate to talk with Bobby Gunn, and he was telling us some tips on bare knuckle and little tricks that let him strive so long in the sport. And I'm very excited to be a part of the third one and be a part of the future of the sport.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you. You know, and Bobby Gunn, didn't he? I think he fought Roy Jones in a bare knuckle fight.
He did.
Not too long ago, yeah.
He lost, but he did.
You know, and I know he's still. I think he's still ducking Shannon Rich. You know, that's a fight Shannon Rich truly wants. You know, Kendall, you were such a tremendous asset to mixed martial arts. How did it feel when you'd made the announcement that you were going to go to bare knuckle fighting? A lot of the major organizations took to social media and said, "Yet another fighter ditches the sport." When you hear statements like that, how would you best explain your side? Because I don't look at it as Kendall Grove ditching the sport of MMA. I look at it as Kendall Grove furthering his experience and his knowledge in the sport. How would you perceive it, sir?
Okay, I'm not comparing myself to Connor, but he did the same thing. And look what he's doing. He's bouncing back in sports. Yeah, he went to boxing. I'm bare knuckle boxing, but like, what's the big deal? Who gives a shit? There's 1,000 other middleweights out there. Yeah, I'm proud of what I've done in MMA and maybe what I'll do in the future in MMA. I don't know. As of now, I'm cool. I'm trying to build a foundation in bare knuckle boxing and start a new chapter in my MMA, in my martial arts career. Now, does my book later on in the book goes back to MMA, talks about MMA? We don't know. We'll see. Yeah, but as of now, I'm just concentrating on one thing, putting my time and energy into boxing, you know, bare knuckle. And yeah, just trying to get better at that. Like you said, I respect, I didn't ditch the sport. I'm just taking a break or taking a leave of absence, you know, to try something new.
Adding another facet, man. You just added another aspect to who you are as a warrior. So, you know, not one statement out there have I ever seen that says Kendall Grove will not fight MMA again. This is just another asset that you've added to your arsenal. You know, if you look at it in a 360, you know, there's a person in your career that is a truly tremendous person, and the more I learn about him, the more I truly am respecting him profoundly, and that being Dave Thomas. What does the relationship with you and Dave Thomas truly mean to Kendall Grove?
Well, it means a lot. Well, it's crazy because I met Dave in like 2006, right after I got off the Ultimate Fighter. Out of passing, I know I just got linked up with the Hui. That's a big surf brand out here in Hawaii, and I just grew up idolizing them. And I'm pretty sure he worked for them at that time, printing some of their merchandise for one of his companies. And I met him, and he gave me some Dahui gear, and that was it. And it, through passing, and then mutual friends at the time, and then nothing really. For 10 years, man, we just back and forth, seeing each other. And then when I got let go from Bellator, and I had my old manager, Paradigm Sports Management, who are dear friends of mine at the same, you know, and I was just like, hey, you know what? I'm small potatoes now. I'm going to just break off, do my own thing. It was cool, yeah. And then right here with me, and then out of the blue, we social media messaged each other. He commented on something I wrote to him, and then the rest is history. He wanted to help me out, and I was kind of over it at the time. And I was like, you know what, at the end of the year, maybe, yeah. And then this bare knuckle thing popped up, and then we just, no, stay up here with him. And then now we're gung-ho. I'm trying to build something with bare knuckle, and he's helping me every step of the way. But it's cool, man. Take a friendship, but business, we never mix it, and he's straight up with me 100%, like how you should, and I like it.
Yeah,
he's
a tremendous facet to the sport. I'll give you that. You know, he's come to my knowledge or my radar just briefly through a good friend of ours, Antonio McKee, but what I already know of him, he's truly a tremendous aspect of the sport. You know, Kendall, you're from Hawaii. Not that many people get successful in the sport coming from Hawaii. What did it truly take for you to truly get noticed, to get on that radar, to get the aspect of being in the sport where you're at today?
Well, for me, you kind of gotta make a statement, and you just gotta. You gotta stand out, you know. And I think I did good at standing out. But I had good people around me. I had good coaches at the time. I was living in Vegas. I was around the right people, and I kind of hustled my way into the right circles, and trained with the right people. And like I said, I was living in Vegas. It was the center hub at the time, you know, anybody who was coming through Vegas to train. And, yeah.
You know, Kendall, I know you're a family man. So when you look at the aspect of creating that legacy, writing that next chapter, what does it truly mean to you to be able to give your family that foundation, the support? And not only that, but to be able to show your children that when you set your mind, you know, to doing something, you see it through completion. What does that aspect mean to you, and how has it helped you grow?
It means a lot. That's why I'm still doing it. It's because my kids are getting older. I still can do it. And it, like I said, it's a way to provide, you know, and like it's one thing that it's all I knew. And it's a passion of mine, and I love competing. And The Ultimate Fighter gave me a platform and a fan base. And now I'm with Bare Knuckle, and that's opening doors. And my kids see it all. They're seeing all my ups and downs. My oldest son, more, he's understanding more about winning and losing and competitiveness and business, because he's obviously older. And he kind of grew up watching me in this game. And as of late, he knows how rootless his business is. As an alley, he wants to be a football player, a baseball player, something, you know. But it's cool. And, like, all my kids, my oldest daughter's a soccer player, and they just never giving up, showing them that I won't give up. Even after I lose, they hug me. Oh, it's all right, Daddy. I'm in the gym the next day. They see me with my bruised eyes, my broken nose, and I'm still jumping rope. I'm still on to the next one, because my grandfather taught me one thing: lead by example. You know, you want something done right, you do it yourself. And that's the one thing I can give my kids, is teaching them hard work pays off, and provide. You know, do whatever you got to do to survive, provide for your family, and, yeah, do what is right. Nothing wrong with busting your ass at work every day, all day, to provide for your family. Come home, train, and get ready for a fight. And my kids will have that instilled in them, you know.
See, I think the society needs more fathers like you. I mean, because, like I said, you truly are instilling values and showing your children that when you set your mind forward, you see it through, no matter the outcome. And that's a tremendous aspect to who you are. You know, you go back to 2003, you faced Cristiano, what did that moment mean for you? Because ultimately your career would kind of take off from that point. But what did that ultimate first fight with Cristiano mean to you?
With who?
With Tristan Cristiano in the Hawaiian Regional back in 2003, brother.
Whoa, Tristan. I thought you said Christian. Yeah, Tristan. No, yeah, that was actually a big fight for me. Honestly, he was coming up. He was the man. He was smoking guys, and he was 808 top team or 808 Fight Factory, which was a big gym. You know, Ronald John, Kai Kamaka, Ray Brada Cooper, all those guys, and I was just wet behind the ears, MMA fighter coming from Vegas. But living on Maui, started my career, and that was the thing, fighting guys from different islands, and Oahu had all the top guys, and Tristan was one of my big, that was one of my big tests, and I ended up triangling him in the first round, and that gave me a fucking super high of confidence on, like, really pursuing it. Just because, like, no disrespect to my first couple fights, but it was local fighters from Maui, you know, like, guys like me trying to do it, where Tripson had a bunch of high-caliber guys who was fighting in Japan and stuff already. So when I beat him, I was just... Oh, he jump on you? When I beat Tripson, I was like, fuck, I can do this, man. He's up there, you know, with some of the elite fighters in Hawaii. And then from there, I fought Kaipo Kalama, who was another rising up-and-coming tough dude. I think he was 4-1 at the time, and I was 4-0. And I choked him, and... Yeah, it was addicting. It was very addicting.
Yeah, you know, see, one thing that's interesting about your career, and we'll get to tough three here in a moment, and then we'll kind of take a left hook from there. But one thing that I found that was unique and interesting about your career is not that you only faced him once, but you faced him twice, and that being Joe Riggs. You know, how did it feel for you, brother, to come out, Kendall, and, you know, off of a learning lesson, come back and face him again and walk out victorious?
Going into the fight, when I first got the fight, I was like, yeah. And then right there, like, I was like, oh, shit. Then kind of flashback to when I first fought him, he fucking hit my ass. But he was my best description of that fight was a boy versus a man. You know, he had over 40 fights at the time professionally. The guy used to be like fucking 260. And the guy was just a seasoned vet, you know. Well, I was just a beginner. But I took the fight because Kai Kamaka called me like 6 days before the fight. You want to take this fight, Joe Riggs? I was like, he's tough. My coach couldn't submit him. And my coach submits me all the time, and he had a hard time submitting him. So, fuck it. Yeah, I need money because I was moving to Vegas. I was planning on moving to Vegas, and I needed money to ship my car. And the purse at the time was 500 to show, 500 to win. Let's just say I just got 500, and I was worked the next day. But then I ended up making it to Vegas. Everything worked out. But, no, yeah, fought him, got slapped. It was a big learning experience. I was 4-0, and then he gave me my first loss in MMA and kind of set the bar for me, like, wow, this is – and then he was in the UFC. Like, his next fight was in the UFC, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And for me, I was just, okay, I just faced a guy that just went into the UFC. Like, that's where I need to be to get there. So he kind of taught me that in that fight where I was like, okay, I got to step my game up. If not, you either swim with the sharks or you fucking fade away and die, you know? And so I moved to Vegas and I didn't look back. And I I did everything to become a fighter. I slept on couches, did everything, and I then eventually made it. But thanks to Joe Riggs showing me what caliber you need to be to make it. So, and then years later, I got to fight him again in Pro Elite, and but I didn't fight the same Joe Riggs. I still beat him. I still avenged. I still avenged it, but and that was good. But
if I'm not mistaken, you guillotined him in round one, didn't you?
Yeah. So I wouldn't mind seeing a bare knuckle trilogy. You know, end it with a bare knuckle.
That'd be kind of dope. I think that would be a tremendous facet. You know, like I told you, you know, Kendall, before we went live, my show kind of takes different angles. And, you know, it's to show who you are as a fighter, not just what people see on social media or have seen on television, but, you know, to hear the words out of your mouth. What was life like for a young Kendall Grove growing up, and what led you down this path?
I don't know. Life is pretty simple. Standard, average kid, you know, growing up, played sports, hung out at the beach, until I got to high school. Jiu-jitsu came into my life my freshman year. I did that for a year. I really, really, really liked it, but it was expensive. And then one of my friends at the time, he wrestled since he was 6 years old, and he's like, oh, come wrestle, it's almost the same thing. And then my sophomore year, I went out for wrestling and fell in love with wrestling, wrestled, and then I think my junior year in high school, I started a fight club at my school. And a couple of my friends, we had some boxing, a pair of each boxing gloves, 16s, and every Wednesday, we used to go to my friend's house, and we used to just beat the fuck out of each other. And then I decided to bring my video camera. Like, I started recording it. And then we used to take it to school and watch it at lunch and stuff and just talk shit. And then about 2 months of doing it, next thing you know, we got, like, randoms showing up, throwing on gloves for, like, 30 seconds, and then never seeing them again, and then they'll come back like a month later, like, let it out. And like, I promise you, it went on for like a year. And I graduated high school and I came back like 6 months later, and like a couple of my friends were underclassmen were still doing it. But when I was doing it, it was fun as hell. And then I enjoyed it. You know, I for some reason, I liked it. And I never was going to go to college. Like, I'm dyslexic. I fucking barely read. Thank God for my smartphone that has spell check on it. I don't know. I just started doing jiu-jitsu, started getting into a little street fights here and there after going out, and then really not doing anything with my life. And then my same friend that got me into wrestling asked me to move to Vegas. Linked up with John Lewis and Mark Lehman at JSEC, and then the rest is history. I became a professional fighter after that.
You totally grew up. You grew up as a man in the sport, in this industry. You know, I got to ask you a question, because I've been a photographer in this industry for 23 years. I've been doing journalism for almost 15 years. You know, when I first started shooting jiu-jitsu, it bored the hell out of me. I couldn't stand it. But here you are saying you loved it. I mean, I love it now. But what was it about jiu-jitsu that totally enthralled you, Kendall?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My freshman year when I was doing jiu-jitsu, I was like 5'10", 5'9", like 97 pounds, like 100 pounds. You know, and then my junior year, I sprouted to like 6'2", 145. And then my senior year, I was 6'4", 152. You know, I only remember that because that was my weight in high school, you know, when I wrestled. But No, I was always small. I was Hoyce Gracie, man. Like, I was just some skinny, wet noodle. Like, and jiu-jitsu just gave me strength, empowerment, confidence. Main thing, confidence. It gave me confidence that I could hold my own against anybody. And even though I would get my ass kicked, but I would hold my own. Like, I would lose, but I would give them a run for the money. And then I started not losing. And then I was like, oh, shit, took some time. But, you know, then the rest is history, man. Then the confidence, man. Martial arts gives you confidence in whatever you do. Like I said, I love jiu-jitsu. Yeah, it's a lot of guys who really didn't understand. See, the difference between, I'm assuming me and you, is I kind of got into it when I was 11, 12, 13, you know, where you might have got into it a little later in life, like, oh, like you said, like filming. But, yeah, choking someone out, choking a grown man out at 15 was it for me, 14, 15 was it.
Like, that was a bomb for me. Yeah, I actually got into jiu-jitsu at 50, bro, so.
Holy shit, okay.
Yeah, I've been around the block just a little bit. But, you know, now I love it. You know, I got my first role under Professor J.W. Wright and got choked out, rightfully so. So, but I love it now, you know. Just to let you know, I'm a para-athlete. I lost my leg below the knee. Matter of fact, I'm even quite surprised I'm doing today's show. 2 days ago, I had slipped and fell, and I broke my right foot in four places. And I'm right in between surgery, but I wanted to make sure I got this interview with you, brother. That's one thing, you know.
That means a lot, man. You didn't have to do it. But I'm honored to be on it, man.
I'm honored to share you. Oh, that's funny. That's the same thing that Dave said, you know. But, you know, I look at life as the show must go on, you know.
I was going to say the band must play on.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I love about this sport. You know, I created the show to give back to the fighters for what they gave me. So it's an honor and a pleasure to have fighters like you. I had Chuck Liddell on last week. This week I get Kendall Grove. I mean, how many people in the United States or even in the world can say that they get this opportunity? But, you know, Kendall, sometimes we look at life a little bit different. Sometimes we kind of make a calculation or a thought about ourselves. You know, when Kendall Grove gets that opportunity just to look into yourself and get that reflection of where you started and where you're at now, what does it truly mean to you to create the type of success and the path you did in the sport?
What does it mean to me? I don't know. Like I said, leading by example. I'm not a really big showboater, you know. I care about legacy more for myself and my kids. Like I said, lead by example. I just let my kids be proud of me, like, to them, go to school, oh, yeah, that's my dad. You know what I mean? Like, little dumb shit like that. But other than that, yeah, I just, like, be my kids fucking Superman or Batman, you know? Like when I'm a kid, oh, yeah, your dad sucks, they're going to get nuts. You know what I mean? That, like, because they believe in me, and that's how I just, that's it. You know what I mean? That's what I like. But
yeah,
I'm just a kid from Maui, but oh man, now just living his dream. It's just so happy my dream has lasted for almost 15 years, and it's still going strong. And it just comes with a good support system at home. My wife, well, I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for her still. And then my kids giving me strength every day to get up and make it happen so they can have a better life in the future, you know, so they don't have to work for nothing, and they can go get a good education, and daddy's got that, you know, and for them giving me the strength every morning, I wake up, I see them, I'm like, all right, get your ass to work, all right, get your ass, go run 3 miles, all right, go out and go get your ass kicked by your sparring partners, And that's me. That's me for the last about 10 years. That's been Kendall Grove. Just average fucking Joe, 9-to-5 dad, and part-time ass kicker, you know?
I love it, bro. Part-time
ass kicker.
I love that, man. It's, you know, because people don't get to hear this aspect of you, but I kind of want to take you back just a little bit in the early day. You get this phone call for the Ultimate Fighter 3. Okay, that had to be tremendous in itself. You know, you trained under Tito Ortiz, and then you go in there and you do something that nobody thought you could do. You beat Chris Price via submission. What did those two things, first for getting the phone call to come, you know, to come to Tough 3, and then beating Chris Price, what did those two moments mean to you, Kendall?
Well, getting a phone call was crazy. I was picked, and then I got called as, okay, you're not picked, you're an alternate though, and there's a good chance. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And I was like, ah, fuck it. I booked the fight. I was like, I ain't gonna be the, they never called alternate. And then I booked the fight back in Hawaii, started training for that, and then I was in the process of moving from Mark Lehman's house to Joe Stevenson's house. I was moving in with Joe Stevenson. He just moved to Vegas. And I was reversing my truck, and then I got a private number call. I picked up, and then I was just saying hello. And then he's, oh, hey, what's up, Kendall? This is, I couldn't tell you the guy's name, Josh from Tough Promotions. Just want to let you know. And I was reversing a trailer. Okay, when you're reversing something, when you're reversing, you're concentrating. When you're reversing a trailer, you're fucking concentrating. You're not talking on the phone. You turn on your music. You do everything. So I'm doing that, and then he calls me. And I'm like, eh. And then right there, he's talking, and he tells me, oh, I'm the 16th contestant on the Ultimate Fighter. So I'm a retard. So I don't even hear him. Like, I'm just like, oh yeah. Cool, thanks. Hey, let me call you right back. He's like, huh? I said, hey, I'm reversing this trailer. Let me call you right back. I hang up. And right there, I fucking, less than 30 seconds, I get my trailer in the spot. Right there, I'm like, yeah, I park my car right there. I turn off the car. I look at my phone. I'm like, oh, fuck. What the fuck? And I'm thinking, I was like, did he just say I was a 16? Wait, I call him back. I'm like, hey, what you said? And he's like, oh, no, I was just, and he laughed. He's like, no, I was just telling you, You're the 16th contestant on the Ultimate Fighter. You're gonna be on the Ultimate Fighter season 3, and I was just like fucking, like snapping in my car. Everyone thought I was crazy in my apartment complex. And then going on to win it, and then fighting Chris Price in my first fight in the UFC was this one of the gnarliest experiences of my life. I made it, but I didn't make it yet moment. Just the pressure I put on myself. I rose to the occasion. The rest is history. A roller coaster career in the UFC, and out of the UFC, then Bellator, and then now Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. October 20th in Biloxi, Mississippi, live on pay-per-view.
Oh, most definitely. We're going to talk about that, you know, right now, actually. You know, how did it feel for you, Kendall, you know, after it was all said and done, to get your arm raised against Abramsky in Biloxi this last time?
Oh, it was good, you know. I think 2 years since I had my hand raised, since I fought, you know, but felt good, you know, popping my cherry in bare knuckle. I learned a lot from that fight on what to do and what not to do in future event, future fights. And I thought I fought perfectly. I thought I could have done more, but I kind of hurt my hand in the second round, and from there I was just trying to pepper him, put him away. I had a chance in the fifth round. I dropped him, but
he's tough, man. I'm not going to take it away from anybody. We're all human beings, and, you know, he rose to the occasion, and he survived. I felt I kicked his ass the whole time, but, you know, I tipped my hat to him. He held in there, and but at the end of the day, I won, and on to the next one. Now I'm fighting a tough Marcel Stamps. I know. How is this? To tell you the truth, at the fights, they fought, and then he fought after. I think he fought after me. And I remember walking out looking for the doctor because I needed to get stitches on my head. And then right there, I just, I think the fight after Chris Lytle fought, I think he fought right after Chris Lytle. And then I looked, and just when I looked out of the curtains to see who was fighting, he hit the angle and he knocked out his guy. And I was, and right there, I smiled and I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to fight him next. And then I just walked in the back. And then sure enough, I'm fucking fighting him.
That's going to be a tremendous feeling. You know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, I did that live feed with Stitch. You know, Stitch has been a tremendous attribute in the sport in all facets. Now he's conjoined with the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. What does it mean for you to see aspects like that from the UFC and Bellator and other facets clinging to Bare Knuckle Boxing, you know, and being alongside with you? I mean, you're kind of still at home, but you're not at home. What does it feel like to have all the aspects that love the sport follow you on this path?
It's awesome. It's only going to get bigger. You know, a lot of people, like, see, the thing is, all these people have open minds. You know, they're like Stitch, he's a boxer at heart. You know, he started off in boxing, made his bones in boxing. And now, not just boxing needs cutmen, you know, kickboxing matches. Some jiu-jitsu mat, like now there's more aspects for them to make a living. And then now having these guys jump on board, these figures of our sport with Stitches, you know, cutmen are, referees are, and not just the fighters, you know, these people help make us great, you know. I mean, it's us in there getting all the fucking attention because actually we're out there doing it, but Stitch is out there helping us, giving us time, you know. If we got a bad cut, he gives us more fight. He gives us, literally gives us more time to fight. He stops the bleeding. He makes sure everything is good, you know. Being an experienced ref, being in there, you know, seeing the fight, knowing, experienced, who have been around big fights, know what fighters are capable of doing when hurt so they don't prematurely stop the fight. Or, you know, it's just professionalism, experience. And it's just awesome when you see all these experienced mixed martial artists and martial artists coming over. And it's just, it's cool because bare knuckle boxing is a part of martial arts anyways, you know.
Oh, yeah. But it's going to be the newest, it's going to be the newest attribute, you know. I know it's going to be. I'll tell you what, when I first seen these two promotions get the credentials to throw events, I got to admit, I was elated. I was stoked. I'm a traditionalist at heart. You know, I'm an old Muay Thai fanatic. I used to shoot the early days of the UFC, Pride and Glory, and so now to see this facet come back, because I originally got my start in boxing. So it's like I get to see everything all in one. It was funny when I had Chuck on the other day, you know, I asked him would he be, you know, interested in bare knuckle boxing. He said, maybe bare knuckle kickboxing.
Yeah.
I was dying, bro, because he said bare knuckle kickboxing. That would be, you know, it'd be Chuck, that'd just be Muay Thai. But anyway.
Yeah.
You know, what does it mean for you to get this next opportunity? You know, now that you've had a taste of it, you get to fight again. You already seen your opponent. You know what he's capable of. What would you like the sport of bare knuckle boxing to know about Kendall Grove?
Shit. They already know. I'm a tough motherfucker. I'll die trying. No,
I'm just a fighter. You know, I just like to show up to fight. Sometimes I show up, my heart's in there, my mind's in there, but my body's not in it. We're human. That's everyone. We train our asses off to go out there and put on a show. First of all, for us. Second of all, to entertain you guys, the guys who come and watch it. After all, that's one of the main reasons why we do it, is to entertain you guys and to prove that we are the best in what we do. And I would just like people to know that, hey, you're going to get your money's worth when you see me in victory or defeat. I'm going to fight to the end. I'm going to fight till you make me a bitch. But not too many people have done that. So good luck. You know, I've been in a lot of fights and won some, lost some, but I'm still here and I'm going to win more and I'm probably going to lose more. But I bust my ass every day, so the wins outweigh the losses.
Well, you know, I think James Krause says it best, bro. And, you know, my listeners are probably going, oh, not again, Don. But, you know, somebody did a Q&A with James Krause, and they asked him what it was like to be 22-7. And he said, I'm not 22-7. I'm 22-0 with 7 lessons learned. And I truly like that analogy because I really don't think theoretically there should be records in the sport, because I'm sure you'll affirm this, it's anybody's fight once the cage door is closed. So when you look at that aspect, do you think that records should be tied to a fighter, or do you think it just, you know, should be, you know, put out there like it was in the early days? You show up, there was no records involved, you just, you go out there and the best, may the best fighter win. Do you think that them putting losses on a fighter kind of hinders the sport in some avenue?
Yes and no. For business wise, yeah, you need records. You need just pound for pound. You know, obviously, records don't mean shit. It's how you fight and you put it all out there, and you have memorable performances. You know, you go out there and you make a name for yourself. You fucking leave a lasting impression in people's eyes, so they want to see you over and over again. They get addicted to your chaos, you know. And yeah.
You know, it's kind of crazy because, I mean, like, you mentioned Joey Beltran earlier. You know, you fought Joey Beltran in your early days, and I think it was Bellator 143, if I'm not mistaken. You know, you talk about the transition of fighters, and I see them transitioning daily. And I got to be quite honest with you. I'm honored that they're doing this. I think that, for one, it gives some of the aspects of the sport that the sport's saying are too old. They get an opportunity in bare knuckle fighting too. I think it's great that you're able to get veterans, you're able to get new aspects, and you're able to get the truly grit and grind fighters of the days of old all correlated together into the sport of bare knuckle boxing. You know, when you look at your next outing, you know, what does it truly mean to Kendall Grove, and how does the training camp vary going into bare knuckle boxing comparative to a regular MMA fight?
Oh, sorry. Well, the difference?
Yeah, I said, what's the difference in training and preparing for an MMA fight comparative to a bare knuckle match?
Sorry about that. I was spacing. No, just easier. No, it's so much easier because I only got to worry about stand up. I ain't got to worry about getting taken down. I ain't got to worry about getting my leg kicked. All I got to worry about is your hands, your head movement, and your footwork. That's it. So it makes training for it a lot easier. I do my road work. I'm just a traditional boxer. And I just, when it's time to fight, I take off the gloves. That's the only difference. Is now I'm boxing you, but without gloves. And now my priority of where I punch you is different. Like what I've learned. Like if I throw a fucking overhand right hook, I better be fucking damn sure it's going to hit you on your chin or on your eye. If not, I got a fucking high percentage chance of my hand fucking breaking on your head. So that makes training a lot easier to where I only certain punches, different punches. And taking everything that Bobby Guns taught me and, you know, like a lot of things he taught me help a lot. It won't work for me, you know, because I'm taller and he's shorter. But I've learned a lot from him, and I'm continuing to learn. I can't wait to see him and kind of pick his brain again. But, just training has been a lot easier and funner.
I like that, funner. You know, I had Syed Awad on my show after he fought this last time, and, you know,
Hey Don, I hate to be an ass, but I gotta bounce pretty soon.
Oh, you're good, bro. I got one more question.
I'll do this last question. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem, bro. No problem. Hey man, it's your show. When you wanna go, you can
One of my sparring partners just showed up.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and we'll nix that question, and I'll just ask you the final question, and then I'll throw the mic to you to give out your sponsors or whatever you want to. You know, coming from MMA, you stepped up into bare-knuckle boxing. You throw the first punch. Was it at that point in time that Kendall Grove realized that he had to be more calculated and thought in his punches comparative to the way you fought in MMA?
No. It was the first punch that landed. I think it was a right hand that landed on the side. I think I hit him, like, on the top of the head. I didn't break my hand, but it fucking felt broken. And then it was at that moment I realized, get shots. Then I realized, Bobby Guns was right. Throw everything 100% fast with about 30% power. Find your shot, and then fucking, when you find it, then... You know, and so I was kind of, when you were watching me, I was kind of reliving everything he was saying in my head and, like, trying to apply it. So I was kind of, fucking maneuvering myself to be better. But I still got into a few brawl sessions where I was just trying. Like, fuck it. You know, like, you got too close, throw. Blah, blah, blah. And I just threw, like, three punches. Get away from me. You know, a three-punch combination or four punches. But I know next time I'm just going to – I got a plan. And hopefully the plan. I got a plan. No, I don't got a game plan. Game plans never work. I just got a plan. Hopefully, a plan works. Not a game plan, a plan. But maybe I should have like six plans, and then like, fuck it, one of the sixes will work. And if not, fuck it, draw. If the six plans don't work, just throw caution to win, bite down on your mouthpiece, tuck your balls into your cup, and just swing.
And go for the fences, my brother. Now, Kendall, before I let you go, if you could reiterate who you're facing and on what date for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, when your next fight is, I'd appreciate it, brother.
Okay, I'll be fighting October 20th in Biloxi, Mississippi for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. I'll be fighting Marcel Stamps. He's 1-0 in bare knuckle boxing. He was a former linebacker for Nick Saban at Alabama. And... yeah, check it out. It's live on pay-per-view. Support your local spider or just support fighting in general. Tune in. It's, I think, $29.99. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's $29.99. But anyway, thank my sponsors. I Am Local, Farmers Market, Half Face Blades. Thank you, Andrew. Jossercise. Swift Athletics. I'm drawing a blank. Bite Me Mouth Guard.
Hawaii Volcanic Joe Waters. Rice.
Yeah. Hawaii Volcanic Waters. Vita Coco.
The pharmacy, health bar, all vegan food here on Maui. One of the best spots. If you're on Maui, go to the pharmacy, health bar, best smoothies. 808 Plates, best food truck on Maui. Get fresh fish every day. Check them out, 808 Plates. If I forgot you, I'm sorry. Thank everyone for the support and love. I appreciate everything. All you guys help make a difference. I love you guys. Don, thank you.
Hey,
and
Kendall,
Savvy,
it was an honor.
Thank you for doing this interview with a broken foot. Fuck yeah, respect. Hey, thank you guys for listening and supporting MMA and bare knuckle boxing and just fighting in general. Professional fighting, not street fighting, professional fighting, sanctioned fighting. Thank you guys. I appreciate it. Don, respect.
God bless you, brother.
Come to Maui. We'll drink some Corona.
Sounds good, brother. God bless you, man. Go get some training in, and I look forward to having you back on again after your fight, brother. Go get it down, brother. God bless.
Anytime. Hit me up.
All right. Peace out. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Kendall Grove, a tremendous attribute to the sport of mixed martial arts. Now it's making his way into bare knuckle boxing. Had a tremendous victory over Abramski. He sounds elated to be back in the sport again. You know, much love to Dave Thomas. You truly have come through time and time again, and the quality of fighter that you back, it just speaks sheer volumes of what you're doing for the sport and about who you are as a man in your walk. With that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, Cut Man for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran and Juan Ramirez, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice, and last but not least, the 86ers with Alfred and Freddie, tremendous organization giving back to the community, the United Way Merced and the United Way. Thank you for backing my show. It allows me to continue. Once again, truly, thank you, Kendall Grove, for blessing my show. I know you don't do many, but I was able to get you on here, and that's thanks to Dave Thomas. With that being said, God, man, it's been a great week. I'm hurting. I will let you all know where the surgery and this and that goes. On that note, we're going to get up out of here. Have a good night, and God bless. And I'm going to get off my leg and take it easy. Peace.
I don't want to talk no more. I'm tired of talking.